You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.
Wayne's World would be proud.
All right, we are live, apparently. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that the Avs just won their first game in the bubble, defeating the St. Louis Blues 2-1.
Bubble.
I like that part of it.
Is it a double bubble? I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. But welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. We are partying in the DNVR bar on set today as the Avs, look, they waited for 19 minutes, 59 seconds, .9 something, but they got the job done 2-1 over the St. Louis Blues. They took their time, AJ, but you got to like that.
Yeah, you know, it was a slow burn. It was a dominant first period and then a very sloppy second period. And then the third period, they decided to start scoring goals.
Yeah, The scoring goals part, I like that part. That was good.
It certainly changed the tone and the mood of everybody watching.
There were the first period, everyone felt really good, and then the Blues scored at the end of it, and it was like, okay,
predictable,
of course, right? Like I've seen this period before with the Avalanche, and then the second period was just like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, they were the league's best second period team this season. So when they were really They didn't make their big move then. It felt like, oh boy, is this gonna be one of those opening day clunkers?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of they got deeper into the third and started to get a little nervous, and then the Graves goal changed the whole game. Everybody loosened up on both sides. Chances started just coming fast and furious for both teams as the whole thing got opened up, physicality picked up. All of a sudden, it was like, hey, there's something that we care about on the line. It was no longer the glorified scrimmage the first couple periods.
Yeah.
Kind of had that feel.
That's a good way to put it. Especially the first felt super scrimmagey.
Yeah, it definitely felt like watching them scrimmage each other in Pepsi Center.
Yep.
And then when it picked up in the third, you started to feel like, oh, there's something on the line.
All right, Evan. You were on Natural Stat Trick all game. Give me the Avs' best statistical player.
You dork. Stop paying attention.
I was not on it the whole game. I just want to set the record straight. But their best statistical player actually was Ian Cole, if anyone wants to believe that.
It doesn't surprise me.
That third pair really didn't give up a whole lot that entire game, so makes sense. And then up front, it's the guy, Nichushkin. What do you expect from
every
him?
Every time, man. Yeah. Every time. He somehow finds a way to be a Corsi monster.
He had his classic Nichushkin back check in that third period where you think things are going to get ugly on the back, and then he just chases someone down and plants him into the wall.
Yeah, he smokes a guy. They get the offside. No big deal. Everybody moves on. And instead of that being a transition opportunity for St. Louis, Nichushkin single-handedly wrecks that, and that's exactly what he brings to the table defensively and why he's been elevated in the lineup. And we saw that lineup We saw the coaching staff tinker with it in training camp, and they talked about the advantages and disadvantages of it. They wanted Burakovsky in more of an offensive role. They wanted Nichushkin next to Landeskog and Kadri to play more of that shutdown role. And one game in, it's a success. It looks good.
The second line, dominant in possession metrics. I mean, they did not give the Blues hardly anything. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, second line did exactly what you want, and they're built to play against the Blues, so that's the type of line they can play against them. I'm still not sold on Burakovsky on the top line, just because...
I would agree, yeah.
You know, Landy does so much work for that line defensively, but Nate stepped up defensively tonight and did his job.
Had an absolutely excellent defensive play in the first period where he straight up just won a board battle by himself.
And stopped the cycle.
McKinnon ended up with only 1 point on the night, but he was a machine tonight.
Only the one.
Yeah, right. How disappointing for him.
I tell you, only the 1 point, but his team wins. Is that more valuable than Connor McDavid's 4 points and his team loses?
Well, depends on if you bet on McDavid or not to win the most points in the play-in round. But
yeah. Well, the quality of their interviews is pretty similar. So
true. Good point. We've kind of been all over the place. Let's start with the first period here.
Dominant effort, man.
The Avs outshot the Blues 16-4. I mean,
yeah.
That's the goods. That's not a hockey game. That's the goods. That's a smashing. And yet they end up losing the period 1-0.
Yeah, and you know, it was a great example of like one of the things I love the most about hockey is you have to capitalize. You can create all the opportunities that you want. You can do all that great work. It's all process, right? But if you don't just beat a goaltender, none of it really matters.
Yeah.
And that was the difference because David Perron, one perfect shot gets by Philip Grubauer. Did he overslide it a little bit? It looked like he might have overslid just a touch.
Yeah.
Still a perfect shot. Even if he was in perfect position, I don't know that he gets his glove on that.
I mean, you're asking your goalie to get across lateral motion on a penalty kill.
Yeah, and EJ was in great position to block it,
and
too.
It just made it through him, yeah.
And it was just the perfect shot, and I didn't really have any – it sucked because it was – you know, it's not what you want. It's in a period in which you've dominated, you don't want to see the other team capitalize on the first real chance they get, especially on such a soft penalty call. Yeah. You don't ever when teams capitalize on like really soft calls where you're upset that the call happened, then they capitalize. Now you're doubly upset. It's less bad when they capitalize on a real penalty.
Yeah. That first period was exactly what the Avs want. They're down 1-0, but they want to play 5-on-5, and they showed why they want to play 5-on-5 because they're just better than everybody else 5-on-5.
Yeah, well, and like St. Louis is a really, really good team, and you could just see they were the one thing. There was no checking with the eyes, you know. After the exhibition game against Minnesota, Bednar ended up in a week. And they were really good early on against St. Louis. They dictated that whole game.
Hits in the game 40-39 in the Avs' favor. So it was no lack of physicality, to say the least.
It feels like probably 20 from each team came in the last 10 minutes
of
the third.
They picked it up quite a bit once the game got
going hard at each other. Yeah. Cale Makar was taking no nonsense from anybody today.
I miss watching Cale Makar in a real hockey game, dude. That kid is just special.
No points, but some electric moments per usual. And honestly, I would say Makar's best moments of the game defensively.
100%.
Good stick work, good physicality. Yep. I really liked him in his own end. Offensively, a little bit less exciting
than
we're accustomed to.
Felt lackluster, for sure. Yeah.
But there were, you know, the one rush up the ice.
Yep.
When he circles a little bit, and then he goes, he centers that pass. Look, man, I try that one in NHL 20 a lot.
How's that work out for you?
It depends on the game.
His best play in the offensive zone came in that last power play where Blues went to clear and he's knocked out of midair.
It's a great job.
And scored 30
That last power
later.
Play was insane.
If the Avs played that hair on fire on the power play all the time, I tell you what, man.
It's hard to create that sense sense
of
urgency,
of course,
though, because you go on the power play with what it was like 1:15 or something left in the third period. You're tied at 1. You know that you have an opportunity to get out of here in regulation against arguably your biggest rival and your biggest competition for the top seed in this round robin stage. And you're taking this one personally. These are the defending champs. The road goes through them. It starts with them. And you just can't fake that urgency.
And look, at the end of the day, the Avs came away with this W against the
Blues. They did.
Realistically, if they drop the next two games, they're probably still not the worst team in the West.
Right, because of their tiebreak advantage over the other teams.
Yep.
Over Vegas and Dallas. This immediately puts them in very likely not fourth seed.
Exactly.
Well, the one thing about that power play is the exhibition game, and even in training camp, they had Burakovsky there instead of Kadri. You know, it might have been for the faceoff at the end there, but you wonder if they switched back to Kadri, because that's what it was all year.
They moved away from Burakovsky on that top line a little bit at the end of the third period. Like, we're talking 10 minutes left.
Yeah.
I thought he might have been the worst forward on the team.
He did not have a good game.
Yeah,
he didn't play well in the exhibition game either, so not a good start for him.
Yeah, I dinged him hard in the grades. He was one of the lowest graded guys I gave.
Fair. And I mean, I don't think any Av is going to get that low of a grade tonight. Probably. You're not giving out any Fs, but.
Yeah, I don't think there are any Fs out there, but Burakovsky probably pushed it.
Hard to argue against, given the game that the Avs ended up. I mean, the top line was pretty monstrous, top to bottom. They played a great game. Landeskog struggled to finish, but the number of opportunities they created was just. It was classic three-headed monster. And I know Landy was on the second line, but all of them were vibing. Kadri played an insane game.
Yeah.
Which we're leading into it. DraftKings king of the game, AJ Evan. It's got to be game-winning goal Kadri, right?
Yeah, 100%. It's got to be Kadri. I mean, you literally win the game. It's a buzzer beater. It's a buzzer beater in hockey, which you almost never get.
I'm legitimately trying to remember the last buzzer beater the Avs had. It's got to be Briere, right?
Yeah. Like, that's the last one I remember was Briere.
I can't remember one before that, to be honest with you.
Joel Ward had one a couple years ago in the playoffs, which was like 0.2 seconds left. But yeah,
that's not the Avs. Get out of here.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Of course AJ would know that.
But no, Kadri, that's why they brought him in. I mean, score those big goals. And
well, and right in front of the net, too, right where they wanted him to score, because last year in the postseason, that's where they had JT Compher and Tyson Jost on that top unit. And this year, they take Burakovsky out.
What a world of difference that is. Yeah.
In that last minute of regulation to be able to have the talent on hand to make that change. And look how it works.
We'll get to that breakdown in a little bit, but first we do have to take our first break here with DraftKings, the number one rated sports book app out there. You can head on over to DraftKings.com/sportsbook. With hockey back, you can bet. All right, look, it's been a good day.
Yeah, I got it.
I've had a couple beers.
No, they're saying
lit. Yeah.
Did you guys watch this hockey game? All right, if you made it through that hockey game without a beer, props to you. But
should have seen the post game shots that took place.
I'm dude. That shot was amazing.
It was really good.
The shots at the DNVR bar. I don't even. It was rum with something it tasted like fruit punch. I don't even know.
Yeah, that was it.
I'm talking about we took a shot in celebration of the Avs win. I don't know. All right, I didn't have a shot for the first goal, Allie.
Oh, well, producer, everybody downstairs apparently
had
shots.
Yeah, my producer is lying to me at this point right now. But DraftKings Sportsbook, head on over there. Use code DNVR to sign up. And for a limited time, all users get a free $20 bet, which you can win $100 on. Pick any team you want. If they win, you get 5-1 odds. It's a great deal. Whatever you want to bet on. Sports are back. Baseball, hockey, basketball. If you want to get out there, if you want to get wild, I know Colorado loves their table tennis. You can bet on that as well. You name it. DraftKings Sportsbook has just about everything. They have amazing slam dunk odds boost, which sometimes like get ridiculous. Their UFC odds boost is basically free money. They are basically just giving you money on some of these bets. So get in there, take a look, choose your bets, get your money, make the deals you want to do. Again, use code DNVR when you sign up to get a free $20 bet to chance to win $100 on it. Maybe, must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, conditions, and eligibility restrictions apply. If you have a gambling problem, be sure to call 1-800-522-4700 and see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. Second period of this NHL hockey game. It was not pretty.
No.
This is what the St. Louis Blues do, right? They get into a lead. They take you and just smother you to death. And that's what it felt like in the second period for the Avs.
Yeah, it definitely felt like great. Like now they're in the Viper's nest, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like there was about 7 minutes to go in the second period, and I started to think this is the vice grip that they want to put on teams. And they're not trying all that hard. They'll take an opportunity if you give one to them. They'll forecheck you. They'll try and create a mistake. But otherwise, they're just keeping you from getting any kind of speed or anything through the neutral zone. No speed, no transition game. Just stop it all up. Don't let clean zone entries and move the puck.
Yeah, and then the Avs took a couple penalties, giving them some momentum. And I mean, the Landy penalty, he takes those every once in a while. Took a couple tonight, but
yeah. Well, and he's taken four penalties in two games so far. He needs to tone this down.
Hold on, I have to say, I was expecting it to be a little bit looser ref. To be honest, they're calling it quite tight. The exhibition game, sure, whatever. But in the play-in round, in the round robin, so far the refs have been calling a lot of penalties.
Yeah, you wonder. I mean, they've got to work back into shape too, right?
Fair enough.
And they're calling a lot of borderline stuff.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
You know, the last penalty that they called on Colorado in that third period with, what, six, seven minutes left?
The Belmar one, the Belmar with the two guys just locked up.
Right, like, I could see where live you would say that he tripped him because the skate was in there. When you watch it on replay, it really was more of a
coincidental type.
It was two dudes whose legs like, just sort of got tangled.
Yeah. Even the Z penalty, we never got a replay of it. It seemed like he knocked his stick out of his hand.
Yeah, the Z penalty was like he stumbled and brought his stick down across, and Tarasenko just dropped his stick.
And they called tripping.
They called slashing.
Well, oh, it was slashing.
Yeah.
Officially, it's a slash. But we saw like the exact same play happen.
Yeah, we never saw a replay. Yeah. Or the correct call, apparently.
What can you do there? But we saw that play happen multiple times where Av sticks would straight up get broken even, and they wouldn't call anything. The inconsistency there.
Zadorov's, in fact, actually had his snapped in half.
He needs
it got slashed. And then he took Jost's stick. It was like
that was an adventure.
That was pretty funny because Jost is like, okay, well now I don't have a stick, and we have the long change. And then Zadorov's using this like Munchkin stick, and you're like,
he cleared it out with it.
It was the wild, sandwich, but it was still a little like you were like, oh, this is funny to watch because you know like that's not his stick.
Yeah. Now, the good thing about that second period, the only good thing is they got Grubby into the game because he was able to see some shots.
After the four-shot first period.
Yeah. And I think two of those shots were like dump-ins from center ice, so he didn't have much to do in the first period. And, you know, you got Team Frankie out there, which Frankie's been great, but Grubby did what he did in the playoffs last year.
Yep.
We're headed that direction, so after a game like that, how do you not give Grubauer the starting job in the playoffs proper?
He was the de facto one anyway.
Right.
So you're pretty much asking him
to be that guy.
To put on a performance like this. You want this kind of performance. If there's any letdown from Frankie at all,
he's done.
It's really probably the conversation probably ends. If Frankie comes out on Wednesday and has a 35 save shutout and he's spectacular, then we've moved nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Frankie still 1A, still, 1B then. Yeah.
Frankie still has a turn here. Yeah. Like, he's still going to get his shot. We know that that's coming.
Well, we think he's starting on Wednesday, but do you think after this game they say, okay, Grubby, you get another chance?
I wouldn't. I would give it to Frankie.
That feels like a misuse of the round robin games that you have.
Yeah. I mean, I can see where you're coming from in terms of, like, if you want to build that momentum. Like, he was so good. Let's see if this is going to be, if he's going to be on one of those hot streaks. So he goes in and he beats Vegas, okay, and he plays great. And then do you just Dallas?
Just never then play Frankie at all.
Yeah. Do you then roll straight into Saturday's game against Vegas and start Grubauer for a third day? And then obviously he's your guy in the first round.
Yeah. Well, I guess the tough part about this, the schedule for them so spread out.
Yeah.
Where it's like, well, Grubby's gonna play.
They have
he's gonna play tonight, and then he's not gonna play for 6 days.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah,
it's messy.
But I do think Frankie starts. It's just a conversation, you know.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fair conversation. We have a Drew here wanting to participate. Oh wow.
All right, Drew, what you got for us, bud? Hey, I
the win at 0.1 seconds left. I've only been watching hockey since November. Is that normal, fellas? Does that happen all the time?
No.
Drew, why don't you watch? Have you ever witnessed an Avalanche loss in person?
I don't believe that I have. No, in fact, not only that, even turning them on, the times I've had to like flip them on the TV or the radio or whatever it was at the time, I believe that every Avalanche game I've tuned into has been a win. Not all of them comfortable, but all of them wins.
Okay, so Drew's coming to the bar for every single game, everybody, just so you know.
I'll be here. That was the most exhilarating one, though the last time I was at a live game, the Avs beat the Blues very close at the end there at the Pepsi Center afternoon game, but not with 0.1 seconds left. I did not know that was possible.
Yeah,
they were playing, they were showing the records. We don't have an official timeline. This is something I plan to do later tonight is count frames and see actually how much time was left, but we can officially say it was
the nerd now?
It was less than 0.1 seconds. Yeah, you're looking at the video nerd of DNVR Avalanche right here. I'm willing to accept that title, but certainly less than 0.1 seconds were left in that game.
So if you're the natural stat trick nerd and you're the video nerd, does that make me the cool guy?
No, you're just the hockey nerd as a whole. You're fine.
All right. Well, I was about to have a real identity crisis. That was really close.
Three hockey nerds in their own facets here.
Yeah.
That's what you're getting. And Drew's a baseball nerd, let's be honest. But.
Well, it's funny. One of the times recently that AJ and I were arguing about the excitement of baseball versus the excitement of hockey, I was like, you never get like a 5-run come-from-behind victory in hockey in the bottom of the ninth inning, and that was basically what we just witnessed. So maybe I was wrong about that. It's just like, sorry, I didn't think that was possible, and there it was. So,
I don't need to say it.
I would like to see what the Blues record is in regulation, leading going into the third period, because they didn't even get a point out of that game.
And think
I can't
it's pretty
imagine
good.
That happens frequently.
Yeah, I think they were one of the league's better teams at protecting leads.
I would think so as well.
Just given their play style and how they roll.
We're heading into the third period conversation here, so let's go ahead and bring up the Avs' first goal of the game. After a bunch of futility from the Avs, I mean, we're talking all of their top flight forwards often missing the net on grade A chances.
Yeah.
You end up with a absolute mess of a play from Ryan Graves here. And ultimately, I don't even know what to call this. The best move in NHL hockey is the move that you do on accident.
Yeah.
That's the way I would put this play.
You know, what I liked the most about it is that this really exhibits the intelligence from Graves, because defensively he's watching the play and he sees, okay, here's my opportunity.
Jumps up as
this
the third
is not,
man in. Yep.
This is not the fastest skater in the world, and you see he gets up into the play, and even though he whiffs when he gets the puck, he gathers it and then he beats Binnington cleanly.
Yeah, the amazing thing about a whiffed pass is when you're committed to making that pass and you whiff it, everyone believes you're trying to make that
pass.
That's
right.
So everybody bites, and that's how the play ends up happening. He gets everybody to commit. He whiffs on it. He goes, oh, I whiffed, but the puck's still right here. Better throw it on net. Binnington's moving across body into the net it goes.
See, and the thing is, what's remarkable is Binnington was arguably the guy who reacted the least. He was still centered in the net enough. But there was enough for Graves to shoot at that all he had to do was just pick a spot, and he hit it, and that it totally changed the game, because it went from a super tight checking game where the Avs were gripped, they were just trying to finish one off, and then that was just like a
breathe kind of moment. It,
okay,
yeah.
Great. That one is on. We're on the board.
Yeah.
Now let's get back to work. And a ton of chances just started for both teams. There were a bunch of chances that they started trading at that point as they got up and down the ice, and they started playing more of an Avs-centric game after
that. I think that's the good point, is when you're playing open hockey, that's what the Avs excel at.
Yeah, St. Louis doesn't want to do that, and we saw why.
Yep.
Because they just, you know, Tarasenko, Schwartz, those are good players, but they are not the guys that some of these cats that Colorado has are.
Tarasenko, you know, did not look good.
He looked like he hadn't played an NHL game in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm. That's an advantage in this round robin. So
for him, significantly longer than
most no, this
guys.
Was not like 4 months for him. This was, and I, you know, I think he played in the Chicago game, but that's, you're still talking about a guy that is in his
one
his
real
second
game-ish.
Like. Actual game
10 months
since last fall, and that's a lot of rust to try and knock off. And he just wasn't very good. And if he's not going to pick up his game, like we've talked about him as the X factor for them,
yeah,
if he's not going to pick up his game, they don't have the big guns to keep up with, not just Colorado, but they don't have the horses for Vegas either.
I mean. You they don't have a ton of goal scorers. O'Reilly's a very solid center, but he's not someone you expect
it's
to score an insane amount
them.
Of goals. Right.
It has to be Perron. It has to be O'Reilly. It has to be Schwartz. It has to be and, all of them together.
And they got the goal out of Perron in this game, and it wasn't enough. So
you only score once?
Yeah. Exactly.
It shouldn't be enough.
Right. But definitely a fair point. So hard to argue with that side of things. Oh, God. Drew's got questions.
We had a question from the crowd.
Fellas, I was just curious because, you know, I was thinking about this with the Colorado Rockies out to a 6-2 start, Nolan Arenado not having hit a home run yet, and then watching this Avs game. It seemed very familiar of, like, they're not playing their necessarily best, and they just topped off the defending champions. I know it's just one game, but how much are you feeling that, like, look, this is not even close to the best that the Avs can give, and they were still able to give this kind of performance. How encouraging is that for you?
It's honestly, it's very similar to the start of the season where the Avs started 8-1-1 or whatever it was. And day in and day out, I was like, you know what? They maybe brought their B-plus game, and they won.
Yeah, especially McKinnon.
Yeah.
But this did not feel like a B-plus game from McKinnon.
No, he looked
awesome.
That's a good point. McKinnon, look, he only ended up with 1 point on the night, but that dude was flying.
Yeah. He was all over the place. Like, arguably the guy who had the best scoring chances outside of one Landeskog shot attempt was McKinnon. If you had to rank their top five scoring chances before they started scoring goals, McKinnon might have had three of them. Like, the right guys were getting the opportunities for Colorado. It was, they just weren't finishing them. And once the Graves goal happened,
the icebreaker,
I think everything, it took the lid off. Everybody kind of just relaxed. It looked like Kadri scored twice in the last minute.
Yeah, it was exactly that type of game, too. From 5 minutes into the first period, you totally saw it as like, oh, this is a game where the Avs are going to get frustrated because they can't put a goal in the net. And then once they got one, everyone was like, all right, we're good hockey players. We can do this.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I thought the Avs played quite well. Obviously, I think they dominated the first, but the reality is the way that this is working out, they're playing the best teams in this conference that they're going to have to go up against. So St. Louis is going to counter them at some point, and they did in the second period. But the Avs were the better team, in my opinion, in that game, just especially 5-on-5.
Yeah.
First and third period, certainly, they were the better team.
So I think that's a good start. And when you look at the score sheet, it's all their top guys have points. So that's what you want to see.
Yeah, well, and the jump between Minnesota and this, then in their level of play.
Very different competition.
Like, you go from a team whose season is now on the line whenever that series starts.
Tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
Oh, wait, no, that's tonight. That's the
later tonight?
Tonight, yeah.
Okay.
It's probably starting right now, honestly, yeah.
That, like, the Minnesota's got to gear up. Their season's on the line now. And Colorado had a game to kind of work themselves into it. And even though this isn't like make or break, seeding is going to be important. You always want the easiest path to the cup final, right?
Like, I cannot express how glad I am. We don't have to sit here on this panel today and be like, well, it's a seeding game.
Yeah, exactly. Like we get to say, look, it was important. It matters.
Right. Exactly.
If they, you know, wherever they end up, we don't know what the path looks like, but right now, if this was to continue, Colorado ends up as the number one seed. They get Chicago starting next week in the first round. Are you taking Chicago? Are you serious?
Never in a million years over this team.
It's why the seed matters.
Yep.
Because if you get Chicago next week, it's basically like getting the free pass in Monopoly to go around and collect $200.
The Avs are licking their chops.
Yeah, because Chicago sucks. Like, anybody that wants to buy into what happened yesterday can. That's great. They still suck.
The Avs don't start Mike Smith, so.
And it's like, I came into this thinking wherever they land is fine. But watching how the first game of a lot of the qualifying stuff has gone, We could be in line again for mass chaos.
Yeah.
And if that happens, it benefits whoever finishes with the first seed.
Both 12 seeds now, won their game. Like,
Colorado's now in the driver's seat for the first seed because they have the advantage over the other two teams that they play.
Yep. 100%. They beat the best team in the West. That's just the reality. They have the advantage in the round robin as far as the Western Conference is concerned. That is a Strava Craft Coffee game-changing performance, if I do say so myself.
Can we give that to Grubauer?
We can give the Strava Craft Coffee game-changing performance to Grubauer. Look, Kadri 100% deserves the DraftKings King of the Game. He scored the game-winning goal. We'll get to that in the third period. But Grubauer kept this a one-goal game through the second period, through the third period. He got beat by one great shot, and that's it. That's all he did in this game. So...
Came up with big saves in the third, especially.
Yeah, a couple of big moments where the Avs were pushing and they gave up some odd man rushes, things like that. And Grubauer, it wasn't the cleanest saves in the world, but he kept them from going in the net.
Yep.
So he got the job done. Strava Craft Coffee, of course, you can save 20% when you use code DNVR at checkout. And now, if you subscribe to their service, you can save 20% every single time you buy. You could even buy Strava Craft Coffee in the DNVR bar. You can have like a cup of coffee at the DNVR bar. Strava Craft Coffee. Go buy it. Come here. Why aren't you here?
Now Drew's over there.
Yeah, we have a rotating cast today.
He's like Jabara.
I can't see.
Either way, the DNVR bar has you covered for Strava Craft, for Breckenridge Brew, you name it. We got it all.
Over there?
Get your Strava Craft today at StravaCraftCoffee.com. And, of course, our new gaming sponsor. I have to tell you, I played a rough round of WGT golf today.
That's because you're bad.
I am. But I'm really good until I have to putt the golf ball, let me tell you. If I never have to putt, we are in there. But the putts ruin me. So, yeah, I'm saying, play me closest to the hole, I'll get top five. You make me play stroke, play, and putt, I'm not going to make the top 10. It's just the reality. But if you want to make the top 10 of DNVR's WGT golf tournaments, sign up today at dnvrgolf.com and search for DNVR3 to join the DNVR clubhouse. You can get in. We have tournaments every single week on true-to-life courses like Bethpage Black, St. Andrews, Bandon Dunes, many others as well. It's an amazing game loved by more than 20 million people around the world. Can't recommend it enough. Come be part of the DNVR fam. Download WGT Golf today. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. I can't wait any longer. Let's bring up the third goal. I got to see it. We got to watch it again. There is, this is possible. All right. I don't understand. Kadri, the crossed the line there. Clearly there was a one on the screen. All right. When that goal happened across that red line, right at the crossbar there, look at this 4-3-2.1. It's in the net 0.
So I remarked it earlier.
This power play has been outstanding. The Avs can't score on it. Time winding down. 9 seconds left. Off the glass it goes. Landeskog is here. Up top it's Makar. 2 to go. 1 to go.
The Avs had it in the zone for a good 45 seconds straight before Kadri. The rebound comes out. He's Johnny on the spot.
Five shots.
McKinnon
body slammed him into the board.
Yeah. He threw him into the boards. Like, you celebrating my way. And I was like, okay.
And this was, we don't have the clip of it, but 10 seconds before that goal goes in, he missed a wide open net from the slot.
Yeah.
And you even saw the reaction when you watch it back. He's clearly incredibly mad at himself that he missed
it. It was live, we couldn't tell if he was celebrating.
Yeah, we
or
thought
if
he had scored.
Down,
right.
Or like what had, we had no idea what was taking place with Nazem Kadri specifically.
And then the redemption here as he pounds home the rebound. No
and
doubt about it.
I love that
it.
Bennington just lays there.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat it, sucker.
It's just like, oh no, what has happened? And then
life is hard on the other side,
the classic
it?
Hockey smile with the missing tooth there as well. You can't go wrong.
That you know what that joy reminded me of? It reminded me of Paul Stastny after game one in 2014.
Oh, that's a good callback right there. Credit
that's
credit's
what that,
due.
That's what that reminds
Stas
me of.
Stas had a hockey smile.
You know, they were all like the arms and he had the big grin and that's what Kadri looked like.
They showed the thing, it's the latest playoff goal ever scored or whatever.
Yeah, Jussi Jokinen had one at 0.2.
Yeah, And I don't, even regular season, I didn't know a goal like this was actually possible.
I mean, you think about it, and it's like theoretically, right?
Right. It like, could happen.
Because when it happened live, everybody around us is like freaking out. And I was just sitting there like, I think it was late.
Like the everyone started celebrating. I celebrated too. And then immediately I was like, okay, show me the clock.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they showed about like 10 replays.
Yeah.
There was no clock. It was just like him scoring. And it was like, look, that's not in question. Yeah. We know he scored. Everybody understands that took place. But did it happen in time? And then the clock, they showed it with the clock, and then it was like renewed hope.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the longest review of all time took place.
Craig Berube was mad. The NHL does not have the technology to deal with hundreds of a second. It's just tenths of a second.
Yeah, so you can see the crowd here as we're about to bring it. People, when you score with 0.1 seconds left, people lose their minds. That's the short answer here.
Those are the goal shots.
Yeah, you saw it. All 30 of them there. Yeah. The goal shots that
they
had.
They were not a myth. Ali Monroy confirmed not traitor, a scumbag.
I don't know. Those shots were ready a little early. Were we drinking those even if the Avs lost this game? I'm not sure, but
I could drink a lot more.
Oh, you were going to pour them in the trash. Great. All right.
I didn't get one.
Those were tasty.
Nobody ever pays me in goal shots.
I mean, that was the moment we were waiting for. Honestly, this... I love it when a plan comes together. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
There was so much hype around this hockey game.
It is so huge that they did not give them a point.
Oh, that is
it's so big.
Massive.
That is 0-1 and not 0-0-1. It's so big.
Yep.
Because they have the advantage over everybody. They have the tiebreaker points percentage advantage that they're using to separate ties in the seeds over all of them.
Over every team. So if they're not cleanly in last.
Regulation loss is huge for them. Because if they get another one in this week, then they have no chance at the first seed.
Look, if the Avs finish one and the Blues finish two or three, the Avs don't play them till the conference finals.
That's right. You want to miss these fools.
Exactly.
You do. You don't, like, let's be real. You don't want.
I believe the Avs can beat them in a 7-game series, but you know what? If that wants to come in round three instead of round two,
I don't mind two other teams taking shots at them.
Exactly.
First.
Yeah.
Especially since the games are not happening yet. What's their place called? Scotia
Rogers Place, I believe.
That place is a house of horrors for the Avs.
Yeah. You know what? It's changed so many times.
Which one are we talking about?
The old rickety building.
The Blues Arena? Oh, I don't know. I have no idea what the Blues Arena is called.
It was like the Enterprise Center.
Yeah, that's what
time,
I remember.
The last time I was
back
in
when
it.
Marty Brodeur played for them, yeah.
Like,
did he get them that name?
Probably. I know. He does the commercials for them now, yeah. So
memories.
Back in the day, as it were, which was, what, 2 years ago, I guess. But
yeah, it is really a good thing they don't have to deal with that mess. That there's no, because St. Louis is so different on the road.
It's,
as we saw in Denver and then them in St. Louis.
Night and day,
they
dude.
Smoked the Avs in St. Louis both games. And then in Denver, the Avs had no problem. Took
it's
care
a
business.
Funny. It's a funny thing, right? Because we've said before on this podcast, the Avs are a team that plays off the crowd a lot.
Yeah,
but
also a great road team.
They don't have the crowd to play off of, but they don't have a crowd working against them.
Yeah,
either in these buildings.
Yeah,
attendance zero.
I think they were either the first or second best road team in the NHL this year. So this whole environment plays to their strength and plays against the other teams, because you look at Dallas. Dallas not very good anyway.
Just period.
But needed to win at home. Vegas and St. Louis have two of the biggest home ice advantages in the league because they play so much better in front of their home crowds. The Avs, great away from the Pepsi Center this year. I don't know why that is. I don't know how relevant that is after 4 months off, but it is what it is, and you have to think that this is good for them. And given that they're 2-0 and they're on the upswing, it's got to be feeling good.
You talked about how quickly momentum is going to happen in this bubble.
Yeah.
It's hard to have more than the Avs have right now.
Definitely.
Two W's, two close W's. This one, a comeback wins. There's no momentum booster in the world like a comeback win.
And especially one that you finish off late like that, where it's just...
This was a game destined for overtime. Yeah, exactly.
It's a downer for Blues. Thinking you're at least going to get a point, get something out of it. And
it's a dagger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It hurts the Blues probably more than it helps the Avs, to be honest. Because that's a heartbreaker. And
Their big thing is that they get...
They're consistent.
I actually don't know how many days off they have. I don't know what their schedule is.
The Blues, yeah, no idea. Couldn't tell you.
They get however many days off
don't
they
care
have
anymore
to sit and stew over this 0.1-second
yeah,
loss.
And yeah, they just have to own it. You got to wear that.
They couldn't score a second goal. You're not...
Oh, they play again on Thursday?
I got to stew on this one for a while.
That's a hot minute to wait. Man,
life is just so hard for the Blues.
Sucks to suck. What can I say? I don't know. Anyway, the Avs took the W here.
I don't have anything else to say.
Well,
we have panelist Ryan Konigsberg on the mic.
Yeah, you know, I think you guys have done a really good job of analyzing this. I just had one question. Are you kidding me? Like, are you freaking kidding? First ever Avs watch party at the DNVR bar, and we get the latest goal in hockey history. Like, that is the most unbelievable outcome ever. We've been waiting since March for anything like this, and, like, we needed this so bad, and we got, like, are you kidding me?
Given all the bad luck that we've had, and, like, we've had to close this place, like, 3 times. Yeah. And, like, even now we're at, like, super limited capacity. And it's like the universe owed us a watch party. Yeah.
All right.
Solid.
Like the first Rockies watch party, they lost 1-0, and it was like, is this gonna happen again?
Now like, I know what true is.
We can't have 2-1-0 losses.
Oh, it's,
all right. You've heard of plenty of cursed buildings. None of that here. The DNVR bar is blessed. You heard it here first. Avs, they're going 19-0 in the playoffs at the DNVR bar. It's happening.
The last thing I have to say, so weird.
The last thing I have to say is, like, things like this is my big take on this. Things like this happen to teams with a little bit of destiny in their blood, and you need a little bit of destiny to win a championship. So there's a chance we look back on this game and say, ah, that's when we knew there was a little something special going there.
Maybe that's when you say that. AJ's been whispering in my ear since, like, week one, like, there's something special about this team, man. I don't know what it is, but this team is just has the thing.
That's a good way to put it.
The thing.
They have the thing.
They've got...
There's something undefinable about them that makes it very easy to believe that they have the DNA for this, something special.
I guess this was the confirmation that it didn't leave. They've still got it.
Still have it, baby. Still have it. Doesn't matter.
They still got Nathan McKinnon. That's what matters.
That's a pretty good thing to have, Nathan McKinnon. Yeah. Turns
I do
out.
Think we have one thing to talk about. There was a surprise in the lineup. We did not expect
Tyson
to see
Jost
Tyson Jost
did play in this game.
And he was
even
really
the Avs
good
didn't
in
expect him
period.
To play because he was not in the lineup on their social media.
I'm a huge fan of the fact that their social media team still can't get their lineup correct.
Evan, could you give me his Corsi numbers real quick?
+6, -9.
Nice.
Yeah.
Tyson Jost had a great first period, though.
Yeah, and I think actually all of his pluses were in the first period. That fourth line was great in the first period, and they really fell off. And that's what happened, that all the penalties kind
of it takes
things.
It really removes the flow, and then you're down 1-0 for so long. You need to roll out your offensive lines. And now it's been, you know, it's now been 8 minutes since you've made an appearance.
Yeah.
And it really just sucks the life out of a line like that where – they need to be an energy line. They need to be in a sort of a rhythm like everybody else. For them to get out there, it's almost just like a random, like, okay, well, we found time for you guys. And it's really hard to get your footing at that point.
We all assumed, because that fourth line was like, I mean, the hype of the training camp, that there was articles out there about how good the fourth line is, things like that. But, I mean, he came in and played well, and they put him on the penalty kill. So I think that's a good sign for him moving forward.
It definitely is, although the PK rotation continues to be kind of random.
Yeah, especially tonight.
Yeah, it was especially the second unit
was
all
over
the place.
It was weird to see Donskoy out there because he's not a guy who's really ever practiced with them much. And they just kind of throw him out there, and it's like, didn't you guys acquire Namestnikov for
to do exactly this? Like, what? I mean, look, it doesn't matter how the batter gets made. The Avs took the W.
It's true, man.
But, all right, gentlemen, you tell me. Would you consider this game a close shave?
I don't want to know where this goes. After after what happened on Friday, I'm good. I don't need, please don't say certain words ever again.
Well, much like the Avalanche, if you have 0.1 seconds left before entering the bedroom, Manscaped can help you out.
Wow. That was...
Manscaped can get you looking good, whether it be below or above the belt, baby. Head on over to manscaped.com and use code DNVR20 to save 20% off and get free shipping. Their new Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer will do the job for you, whether you're shaving your beard, whether you're shaving down below the belt, chest hair, you name it, they have you covered. And they can get you smelling right, whether it be the anti-chafe deodorant, the spray-on toner, straight up regular deodorant for your pits, you name it, they even have breath mints. All right, you will be smelling it great when it comes on down.
Columbus. We got some chaos.
We're watching
chaos.
Toronto. Yeah, we're watching Toronto get dropped 2-0
to cry
Columbus.
About it. 9-1.
You know.
Yeah.
You know who isn't 9-1 for Toronto anymore? Nazem Kadri.
That's true.
Playing for the Avs, getting the game-winning goal. We also, of course, have the DNVR Rugby now. Used to be the Colorado Raptors, now covering rugby for USA on the whole, as America has decided to host their rugby training here in Denver, down at Infinity Park Field. You can go watch the best rugby in the world. Reporter Colton Strickler going inside the locker room and keeping you up to date on all things American rugby. Head on down. Be sure to give their podcast a listen. Follow DNVR Rugby on Twitter. Do all of those amazing things. Become part of the community. He'll even help you learn rugby with 101 podcasts if that's what you need to do. We're just one big happy family at DNVR. And tonight, we celebrate Avs with win number one that matters in the playoffs. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed this Avs game as much as we did. We will be hosting watch parties at the DNVR bar going forward. So be sure when we post the links to RSVP when you get the chance, because this place fills up quick. Until tomorrow, for AJ, for Evan, I'm Rudo, and we will talk to y'all next time.
DNVR Avalanche with Haefeli and Rudo. DNVR Avalanche with Haefeli and Rudo. DNVR Avalanche with Haefeli and Rudo. DNVR Avalanche with AJ Haefeli.